tell. Oh, what a Savior is mine. Mountains and plains with His praises shall swell. Oh, what a Savior is mine. Oh, what a Savior. Oh, what a Savior. Oh, what a Savior is mine. Unto the uttermost, wonderful, glorious. Oh, what a Savior is mine.
There on the cross, where He died for my sin, oh, what a Savior is mine. Giving His life, a poor wanderer to win. Oh, what a Savior is mine.
Lifting my burdens, relieving my care. Oh, what a Savior is mine.
I've enjoyed all the good singing today, specials and congregationals alike. And I'm looking forward to what God has for us in His Word. We've been going through a study in the book of Philippians, and after this week, the Lord brought a few things to my mind, to my remembrance, and I began to sit down at my desk and put some things together and looked across this chapter that I preached out of the whole book of Nehemiah. We've gone through it together, and I preached out of this chapter, and I was reminded of a few things that I thought might be good to serve as a reminder to you. And so I want to bring those thoughts that God laid on my heart to you this morning here out of Nehemiah chapter number 8. Now, here's what I'd like for you to do this morning. I'd like for you to think with me about a few things, and then we'll get into the Word, okay? The first thing is, sometimes if we're not careful, we find ourselves getting in groups and cliques and camps. You know, people say, well, you know, we're not of that stripe, or we're not of that camp, or we do it this way and we do it that way. And so you kind of identify with certain groups or camps, and if you're not careful, you'll begin to take on some of the characteristics of the people and those groups or camps, and you'll think, well, you know, those are biblical. That's Bible, and it's really not Bible at all. It's just preference that people have, and if it's a preference and it's not unbiblical and it's not disgraceful in any way, dishonest, and that's what people want to do, well, I think that's a good thing. You know, if you want to have, I think everyone has preferences. Amen?
Amen.
Everybody out there have preferences? Okay, some of you don't. Okay, well, that's okay. I would suggest that you do. I think that all of us have preferences. Everyone has their own preference of certain things. But now, occasionally, people will take what is a Bible way of doing things, and they'll say, well, that's a preference. Well, no, that's a Bible way of doing things. And that's what I want to talk to you about. The Bible way to conduct a church service. Oftentimes, when we are in church or when we go to church, we do things a certain way, and without even thinking about it, we just kind of do it that way, maybe because that's the way that the church we grew up in. I didn't grow up in church, but I'm just saying for the sake of people that did grow up in church, you know, well, we do it that way because the church that we grew up in, well, they did it that way, and we liked it, and so we just adapted it. And you know what? Again, if it's not unscriptural, if it doesn't go against the clear teaching of the Scripture, that's fine. However, you can get in trouble that way if you're not careful. Then there's the other side of that, and that is that you do things, and you say, well, you know what? I don't like that. I don't like it when someone says amen during the preaching, because I'm just not that kind of a person. I don't like people to say amen. I don't like for people to raise their hands. Well, first of all, the Bible teaches that it's okay to say amen. Actually, it's healthy to say amen, and as we shall see here in just a moment. It's okay to lift your hands in church. You can lift one, you can lift them both. Amen? Lifting of the hands is biblical. And so you say, well, I don't do that. Well, that's okay. All I'm saying is don't get a bad attitude towards someone that does do it. Somebody say amen with me. So you say, don't judge somebody. Say, well, you know, they're just doing that for show. Well, you don't know what's in their heart. You be careful about those kind of things. And so I want to talk to you about preference and worship and what the Bible says about these things, you see. And let me just caution you now. I've talked to people in the past, and I'm going to share a couple of personal experiences with you this morning, but I've talked to some people in the past that say, hey, you know, preacher, I come down there to your church, and that's the way they always refer. You know, I come down there to your church. First of all, this is not my church. Amen. You are my flock, but this is not my church. The church belongs to Jesus. Amen. And you know, come down there to your church, and people said amen, and people raised their hands, and I'm just opposed. Then some guy up there, you know, just preaching real loud. I'm just against that stuff. Well, yeah, let's just see. All right, let's take a little test. Are you really against that stuff? How many of you have a child that plays youth sports? Raise your hand. Okay. Not many. I'm surprised. How many of you enjoy watching a sporting event of any kind occasionally? Raise your hand. Okay, now we've got more. All right. How many of you have ever been to an outdoor concert or singing gospel music? Raise your hand. Okay, a lot of folks. Now, let me tell you what will happen a lot of times. And I'm not indicting you. I'm not trying to make anyone mad here. I just want to show you that sometimes what we say doesn't line up with how we live. So you go to let me get one more in there. How many of you drive down 29 at any time of your life, going to work or going shopping or something? You drive down 29, Highway 29. Okay. All right. So here you are, and you say, well, you know, I don't like the aggressive, you know, the people that shout amen. So you drive down 29 and somebody cuts you off. And you're okay the first time. Okay. Then you go on down the road and you say, well, I'm glad that person got by me. You probably didn't call him a person, but I'm glad that person got on by. And then up the road, they cut you off again. Right? Now you're ready to shout something. It may not be amen, but you're ready to shout something, right? And you're talking to yourself, and you're calling this person who can't hear anything you're saying, but you're calling them name, you're talking, you know, I wish you'd get up, can't hear anything you're saying. You know that, right? I mean, but you're saying it, right? You're staying in conversation with that person. So before you say, well, I'm just not the aggressive type, I'm the quiet, meek, you know, I'm just quiet and meek. Well, you might not be so quiet and meek on 29, all right? And then your son or your daughter's playing youth sports, right? You say, well, you know, I don't like to get loud. But there's this voice that exceeds all other voices. And it's yours. Right? Yeah, I don't like to say anything now. I'm not a loud person. Until little Johnny gets a hit. or catches a fly ball. Or, God forbid, that the umpire make a wrong call on little Johnny. Right? Or the coach doesn't play little Johnny and has him on the bench. See? Now, that little quiet, meek person that sits in church and doesn't mic loud, boy, I tell you, they're hurt all of a sudden. Right? Now, I'm going to say something. And I've said this before, and she doesn't like it anytime I say it. My wife and I, we watch some sports together. We do. And I'm kind of, I don't know, I'm a little more direct in my, you know, yes. But my wife is more like, get it, get it! You know? And I'm thinking, now, I doubt you're going to hear my wife shouting the victory in church this morning. She worships. She worships. But if you shout the victory, she's not going to judge you and say, well, you know, that's just fanaticism and that's just shallow. Well, it might not be as shallow as you think it is. You screaming down at the ball field didn't seem to be too shallow. Yeah. Right? So you see, we've got to learn what does the Bible say about this? If we're not careful, we'll get preconceived things in our mind and we'll get it all wrong. So I want to take the Bible and I want to join a worship service and let's just see if we're on course. Let's see where Fellowship Baptist Church, why are you gathered here? Is this biblical what we're doing? To open up the Bible and to proclaim the Word of God to a group of gathered people in an assembly, is this biblical? You say, well, you opened up to the Old Testament. Well, we could go to the New Testament, but there's more here that I'd like to show that this folks been doing this for hundreds of years, brethren. So don't you let anybody say, well, I'm against the organized church. Yeah. Hey, folks been doing this for years. This is God's way. Amen. This is God's way. Collective, corporate, gathering of God's people. And a man of God stand up with the word of God and proclaim it to the people. Amen. Been going on for hundreds of years. Yeah. Let's look at this. The first thing I want you to write down this morning, I want you to write down the people of the book. And beside that, I want you to put worshipful congregation. See, in the congregation, there shouldn't be just one person saying amen. Everybody ought to be saying amen. Everybody ought to be saying amen. As we shall see here, everybody did say amen. And you know what? To make the devil mad, they said it twice. Amen. Amen. There's nothing wrong with saying amen in church. It's good. It's good to say amen. Now, be cautious when and how you say it. Use it in the right place. Don't just say it just to be saying something. Worship should flow from us, right? It should flow to get engaged in the message and in worship and just interact, as we shall see. Did you write that down? The people of the book, a worshipful congregation. Let's join this meeting in progress. Here we go. You ready? The Bible says in verse number 1, and all the people gathered. All the people gathered. We're going to call this the attendance. What we're doing today is called church attendance. And it's no different than what happened in Nehemiah chapter 8 and in many, 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 many instances in the Word of God. And it's been happening across our country, across this continent, in this world for many, many, many years, all right? This is not something new. This didn't just begin. All right? God has been calling out people to gather together for the express purpose of proclaiming the Scripture and worshiping His holy name for many, many years. Amen. And so the Bible says here that many, in verse number 1, all the people, how many of them? All of them. Attendance, church attendance. How's your church attendance? So, well, I go sometime. Well, I believe you ought to go every time. This church has three opportunities for you to be in church on a regular basis: Sunday morning, Sunday evening, and Wednesday evening. You ought to make it to every one of those church services. And then there's special meetings. You say, well, you know, preacher, you don't have to go. See, you've already got the wrong attitude. Well, preacher, you don't have to go to church on Sunday night. Well, you don't have to. You don't have to go on Sunday morning. Now listen to me. You get to. See, when you approach it from that angle, you've made it negative. You've made it a duty. It's no longer a delight. See, I'm not here today because I had to be. I don't think you're here today because you had to be. I don't know. There may be some children upstairs that are here today because mom and dad made them and they had to be. But I don't think anyone's here today in this sanctuary that has to be here. See, we take it all wrong. We got a wrong mindset. I'm not here on Sunday morning because I have to be. I'm not here on Sunday night because I have to be, or Wednesday night. I'm here because I get to be. Amen. God has given me good health and strength. God has placed a call in my heart to be in the house of God. And I want to bless His holy name that I get to be in church today. Amen. See, there are some folks who would like to be, but they're physically hindered and they can't be. That's right. There's people that are providentially hindered and can't be. And if you're not providentially hindered and can be, don't look at it that, well, I have to be in church. No. You get to be. Now, the Bible says this. So, you write that word down. People of the book, a worshipful congregation, their attendance. How many of them attended? All the people. All the people. So, here we are sitting here. Say, well, you know, we got some people that's not in here. Well, the Bible makes provision for that. Notice what the scripture says, talking about attendance, okay? Notice, if you would, in verse number 2, right in the middle of this verse, it says, and all that could hear with understanding. You see that in verse number 2? Look on down, if you would. It says it again in verse number 3. It says it's the men and the women and those that could understand. Now, we've got some young folks, some babies. Well, I don't know that they could understand what's going on in here. So we provided a place where we could put those so that you could come and get some understanding. And as we shall see what the Bible teaches, some sense out of the scripture today. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Biblical. Biblical. You see. And so don't just think, well, you know, Fellowship Baptist Church has got all these things lined up. I fear that sometimes people think, well, this church is run the way this pastor wants to run it, and this church is run the way this pastor wants to run it, and this church the way this pastor. And that may be so. I don't know. But I can tell you, this church, we're trying to do it the way God said to do it. Not just the pastor. Please don't get in your heart and your mind, well, you know, we do this because the pastor says so. No, we're trying to do it because it's the way God said so. Amen. You see. Now, there's preferences in every church. Make no mistake about it. And I do believe that as long as it's not dishonest and it's not disgraceful, you follow the leadership of the pastor. But before anything else, you want to make sure that it's in the Bible. If God has something to say about it, you want to check it by what saith the Scriptures. Amen. So their attendance. Did you see it there? Their attendance. All the people. Notice what it says here. It's a wonderful thing. All the people, verse number 1, gathered themselves together. Look at this next little phrase. As one man. Unity. Well, I'll tell you how good and how pleasant, the psalmist said, when the brethren dwell together in unity. Isn't it a wonderful thing? I mean, they didn't come bickering and fighting and saying, well, you know, you got my place, or you stole my ministry, or you're singing my song. Or I mean, and the list goes on of why churches over these little nitpicking things and fighting for no cause, unnecessary divisions in the church. It's hurting the cause of Christ in our day. So he said they came together in their attendance, and they were there. Notice what it says. He said they were in the same place, into the street, and they were there for the same purpose, for the reading of the Word of God. I like what they said in verse number 1. They spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book. Now, here at Fellowship Baptist Church, we've just made it a precedent. We're not going to have any services without this book being preeminent. We want the Word of God to be the most important thing, because the Word of God is the God of the Word. They're together. They're synonymous. They're inseparable. You cannot worship God in the way that God desires to be worshiped until you start getting into His Word. See, God grows you, and God ministers to you through His Word. And so they said, we're going to have us a big old open-air worship meeting. But as you come, don't forget to bring the Bible. All right, and I'm just bringing it into our modern-day vernacular. Listen to me now. Don't forget, look what they said. They spoke to the man of God, Ezra, the priest. He's the man of God. Nehemiah was not the man of God. He was the builder. But he had enough of spirituality about him to step aside and get out of the way and let the man of God step up and do his calling. Now, there's a spiritual believer. When you realize God hasn't gifted you in every area, you do the area that God's gifted you, and you do the area that God's gifted you, and I'll do the area that God's gifted me, and the church will profit that way, Paul taught in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Amen. And it's okay to say amen. Don't forget that part. Amen. I know that was 5 minutes ago, but don't forget it, all right? So he said here, listen, he said they gathered there in the street, and they said, Ezra, bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. So they're attending the church, all right? If this is their attendance. They're attending the open-air meeting. They're attending. So why are we here today? Because God ordained it, that we're not to forsake the gathering, the assembling of ourselves together. God has ordained autonomous, indigenous, listen to me now, local assemblies, the local church. God is for the local church, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. So the local church is good. All right, the local church is good. And God works in, and God works through the local church. You need the local church. I need the local church. Can I tell you, the local church has been very good to your preacher. The local church. Since I got saved, I was taught from day one when I got saved that I ought to plug in to an independent, Bible-believing, listen to me now, sin-hating, soul-winning Baptist church. My wife and I plugged in, and God has blessed our lives through the ministry of local church. You need local church ministry. Amen. 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 They gathered together in verse number 1. So we see the attendance. They gathered together. Now I want you to write this word down. So we have the people of the book, a worshipful congregation, and they attended. Now, in order to worship with the people of God, you got to attend, right? See, we're living in an age where people say, well, you know, let's see, there's Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. I think I'm just going to go on Sunday morning. You're missing it. You're missing it. You're taking 1 in 3 opportunities to worship God with your brethren and to learn from His Word. But not only that, to get an opportunity to exhort. Why did the Bible say that we attend church, that we assemble ourselves together to exhort one another? Amen. I'm exhorting you. I'm expounding the Scriptures, but I'm not the only exhorter in here. See, today, at any given time in this congregation, as you interacted with people, you should have been exhorting, edifying, building up the brethren, right? Shaking a man's hand and saying, hey, it's good to see you today. Looking at someone's discouraged and saying, how can I be of a help to you today? That's what church is for. Not to get over in the corner and start saying, well, did you see what she had on today? No, I did not, and I don't care. That's not why we're here. Amen. You got something new? Praise God for it. But that's not why we're here. Amen. Attending. Now look at this next word. I want you to mark it down. So did you get that in verse number 1? And all the people gathered. Highlight that word. That's the attending. They gathered there. You've got to be there. How many of them did it now? Say it one more time with me. How many? Oh, can I tell you something else? You say, oh, preacher, that's not talking about me. Look at verse number 7. Look at the latter part of verse number 7. The latter part of verse number 7 says this, and the people stood in their place. If I was you, I'd claim a seat. Now, I wouldn't fight over it. Amen. I wouldn't fight over it. But I'd make sure that my seat was filled every church service. Claim me a seat in the congregation of the righteous. Amen. Claim me a place. They were in their place. See, Sunday morning during church time, God's got a place for you. It's in the local church. Sunday evening, church time, God has a place for you. It's in the local church. Wednesday night, it's in the local church. See, we think, well, you know, man just made that up. You call it what you want. When the church comes together, God has a place for you, and God wants you in your place. You want to be blessed? Be in your place. God will bless you. God will bless you when you're in your place. Now, some people do it on Tuesday nights. Some people do it on Thursday night. I'm not saying that Wednesday night is in the Bible. I'm just saying that when your church makes a decision, this is when we're going to meet, other than the Lord's Day now. God's commanded that. Then you ought to gather with them and be in your place. Be in your place. It's your responsibility to be in your place. You want God's blessing on your life? Be in your place. I'm going to say this and I'm going to move on. God blesses obedience. God curses and punishes disobedience. You say, well, that's not very profound. I understand that, but it's true. It's true. Somehow we've gotten to the place in our Christianity to where we think, like, well, I'm going to do wrong and God's going to bless me anyhow. No, he's not. No, he's not. Because God doesn't bless disobedience. All right? And so please, please hear me. So, did you get that? The people of the book, a worshipful congregation, they're attending, they're gathered, but they're not just there. See, you say, well, preacher, we're here. Thank God for that. I'm glad you're here. What do you do when you get here? I want you to notice a key word, and this is hard. It's hard for us. I said us now. Now, watch what the Bible says here. Look, if you would, in verse number 3. The Bible says, and he read therein before the street that was before the water gate, which is very interesting. You know, the water gate, water in the scripture, running water is a picture of the Spirit of God, right? And drinking water, the Spirit of God, it's a picture of the Word of God, of washing of the water, running water, I should have said. It's the Word of God, drinking water, the Spirit of God. It's a picture of God's Word and God's Holy Spirit. And that's why they chose this gate to meet and have this open air meeting at the water gate. And the Bible says in verse number 3 that they were before the water gate from morning unto midday. Now, morning for the Jew was 6 a.m. Right? That was the beginning of the day. 6 a.m. You ready? Now, really, it was 6 p.m., but we won't get into that. All right? The evening and the morning, that's God's way. And that's why people get mixed up in time, because God began the day. If you'll go back and look at the creation, it says the evening and the morning were the first day. Right? So the evening and then the morning. 6 a.m. in the morning, these people came out in the street. And they met to midday. Now, that's not very difficult math, and I'm not going to ask you to do a whole lot of math. I don't think you ought to ask people to think a whole lot when they come to church. I'm just kidding. Okay? How many hours are we dealing with here, folks? 6 hours. And you thought I was long-winded. Ezra read the law of Moses for 6 hours. You know, that was just one time. I beg your pardon, 7 days straight. Read this chapter. 6 hours. You say, well, preacher, I hope you don't, you know, are we going to get that biblical? Well, wait a minute now. You know, 6 hours. I want to show you something here. All right, look what he said. He said they met in the morning, in verse number 3, until midday before the men and the women and those that could understand. Now watch this now. And the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. I want you to underline that word, attentive. So they were not only in attendance, they were attentive. They were paying attention. What do you think about when you're in church? If you're a lady, you might be thinking about the roast. Did I turn that on? Did I adjust the dial? Did I leave the iron on? I left the curling iron on. The house is burning down. That right? Well, I'm here to tell you, the devil put all kinds of things in your mind, won't he? Hey, and it's just not the lady folk, right? What about the men? Did I adjust my fantasy football? You know, we don't have a whole lot going on. Amen. The women are thinking about cooking and working. We're thinking about something don't mean anything. But you might be thinking about your work next week. You might be thinking about something that's really important next week, But can I tell you, it's not important than what's going on right now.
Amen.
Now I want you to listen to me. The devil is working overtime to get our minds off of hearing the Word of God. Why? The Word of God changes lives.
Amen. Amen.
The Word of God changes lives. My life is different because I have been transformed by the power of God.
Amen.
God's Word has changed our lives. And God has yet more work to do in our lives, and He's going to do it through the preaching and teaching of the Word of God.
Amen.
The devil knows this, and so he's got our minds, listen, he's just at work trying to get our minds on anything and everything but what the preacher's saying. All right?
Yeah.
You say, how do you know that, preacher? Because I've been where you are.
Right.
I just sit there Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday and listen to preacher, one after the other. And the devil tried to get me to think about everything but what those preachers were saying. You got to discipline yourself. You have to discipline yourself. You got to stay focused. That's one of the reasons if you've got a child in the sanctuary, don't get angry at me, but I don't ever sit behind a baby in a church service. Why? Because I love children. I'll be talking to that child. I'll be doing getcha getcha goo and all that. Preacher up there preaching, I mean sweating, about to have a heart attack, and I'm back there, yay boy, hey fella, how you doing? That's right. So I don't sit around children in a church service if I can help it, because I love children. And I know that I'll get my mind, listen, I will. That little fella looks back at me, or that little girl looks back at me, and I mean, I'm done. What's your weakness? Hey, could be somebody you're miffed at, and you're looking, can't believe he's over there saying amen after what he done to me. Right? Mind on anything but what it ought to be on. Here the Bible says that not only were they in attendance, they were attentive. They were listening. They were attentive to the Word of God. They were hungry. Notice what it says here. It says in verse number 4 that Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood. Right here it is. And I just thought that some old Baptist preacher come up with a long time ago. It's been going on for years, brethren. Been going on for years. You know why we've got it right here instead of over there? Because this is what's central to this church. The preaching and teaching of the Word of God takes place right here.
Amen.
This is what's central to all that we do. It's biblical. Well, I don't agree with that. Well, you see me after the service and tell me why. See, just because you read a book, now listen to me, that said something different, that doesn't make it so. The Bible is always right.
Amen.
The Bible's always right. And so I want you to differentiate between what you're reading in some book and what the Bible says. It's very important. Very important. Because if you're not careful, if I'm not careful, we'll be doing what men said instead of what God said. We'll be following some man teaching instead of what the Bible teaches. And here the Bible says that Ezra got in the pulpit of wood, and he opened in verse number 5. Look what it says. He opened the book in the sight of all the people. I don't like preachers who get up and won't open their Bible. Amen. Open the Bible, preach the Bible to me. I want to follow you. We're going to see that here in just a moment. And so the Bible says in verse number 6, he opened the Bible in the sight of all the people. He was above all the people. Now watch it now. When he opened it, all the people stood up. So, well, you know, that's just a preference. Well, we're just trying to follow what happened right here. So when it's time to read the scripture before the preaching, we ask you to remain standing for the reading of the Word of God. Not a thing wrong with that. It shows reverence and respect for the Word of God. So I just thought that was something you wanted, Pastor Freeman. I do want it because it's in the book. I want to do it according to the book. Now watch what else happens here, okay? They're paying attention. They're paying attention. Because they need to hear. They need something in their life. They're hungry. They're hungry. They stood for 6 hours. They paid attention. They were given attention. They were attentive to the Word of God for a long period of time. Why? They're hungry. They're hungry. Are you hungry this morning? Are you? See, everybody's hungry. You say, you must have heard my stomach growling. I'm not talking about just physical food. See, people are hungry for something. And depending on what you're feeding yourself, that's what you're going to remain hungry for. You're going to build a diet on what you're hungry for. I fear that there's a lot of people sitting in churches today that are feeding on junk food through the week, and so when they come to the house of God on the Lord's Day, they're not hungry for the Bible. They're not hungry for the Bible. Their mind is what's a television program. Their mind's on some website or television program instead of what the Bible says, what the Word of God says. Are you hungry for the Bible? Are you thirsting for what this book teaches? Do you want to hear? Do you want to hear the Bible taught and preached? The Bible says they were attentive. How long? 30 minutes? 6 hours. 6 hours. Now don't get nervous. We're not going to start having 6-hour meetings. Don't get nervous. But I just want you to know that we've come a long way backwards from the day. All right? So number one, a people of the book, they were worshiping, right? Why? Because the Bible says they were in attendance. You have to be there. They gather. Then the Bible says in verse number 3, they were attentive. They were attentive unto the law. They paid attention. And then it says this, I want you to write this word down, affirmation. So you have attendance, attention, affirmation. Look at verse 6. Verse 6, the Bible says that Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people. How many of them? How many? All the people, brethren. You say, well, I don't say amen. Well, you ought to start. All the people said, look at it now. Amen. Amen. Man, they really got spiritual. They lifted up their hands. Is that what the Bible says? And then they bowed their heads to the ground. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to lift your hand before the Lord right now. Can I tell you what just happened? Some of you don't want to do it. You know why? Pride. Pride. Boy, I tell you, the flesh doesn't want to worship God. Listen to me now. I'm trying to help you. I've been there. You say, would you ever do this during a song service? Would you ever lift your hands like this? When the preacher's preaching, would you ever say, amen, preacher, preach it? Would you? Would you? You can put your hands down. Now everybody say amen with me.
Amen.
That didn't hurt, did it? Say it again. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Not a thing wrong with that. Boy, folks go to church and act like, oh my goodness, he said hallelujah. I think he's a nut. I hope he's not carrying a gun. People look at people that worship God like you're some kind of nut. I think if you don't worship God, you're a nut.
Amen.
What in the world have we got to? Will we just come and sit in church and just sit there like a knot on a log and think that's a worship service?
Amen.
That's not a worship service.
Right.
That's dead.
Yeah.
That's dead.
Yeah.
The Bible says here that these folks said, amen, amen, and they lifted up their hands. I'll never forget when Sharon and I got saved. Listen, I was not raised in church. I probably went to church, I don't know, I don't remember, but maybe a half a dozen times until I was 19 years old. And that was, I talked about this morning, being forced to be in church. I was forced to be in church until I got saved. Because when I stayed with my grandmother on a Sunday, she was going to church and I was going with her. No questions asked. That's why I always said, come pick me up Saturday. To my parents. So Sharon and I get saved, and we start going to a good Bible-believing church. But nobody said amen. Nobody lifted their hands. I mean, they just didn't. That doesn't mean it was a bad church. Listen to me now. It's a good church. Got good training there. Good training. So don't mistake what I'm saying this morning. So there was a little church right up the road from us, and it was a good independent Baptist church. And I told Sharon, I said, you know, I got to tell you this first. I was driving home from work one day, and I heard Oliver B. Green preach. How many of you ever heard Oliver B. Green preach? Okay, if you've never heard Oliver B. Green, you need to look him up. Okay, he's in heaven now. I heard Oliver B. Green preaching, and I couldn't wait to get in the house that day. I went in, I said, honey, I found us a church. Amen. You remember, Sharon? I said, I found us a church. You're not going to believe this guy. Man, I heard this guy preaching on the way home. I mean, I was getting all over myself. I had a little Pentecostal in him and didn't even know it. I mean, man, this guy was preaching. I was saying, hey, man. I mean, I was excited. This guy preached with some fervor and with some fire and with some conviction. And I went in and I said, honey, I found us a preacher. We're going to find out where this guy. Long story short, he was in heaven. Man, I was so disappointed. I was really disappointed. Well, later on, through a series of things, God wanted us to go to a little church up the road from us, Independent Baptist Church. So the first time, this actually happened. This is going to sound like one of those stories you might think, well, man, is that true? Well, my wife's right here to verify it. Plus, the Holy Ghost of God is my witness. So we walk into this church. We got there right as the service was starting, and they kind of did like we did. They opened up with a choir number. All right, now you got to remember, we come from a church, nobody said amen. Doesn't mean it was a bad church. It's nobody said amen. A little formal. And so we wasn't used to any expressions of worship. So we go walking in, and I mean, right when we go walking into the sanctuary, there was a couple of people up in the choir done like that. And I looked at Sharon, and I said, yeah, do you know these people? I don't know these people. I'm serious now. And so we went and we found our place and sit down, and we sat there for a while, and I mean, it looked like they was looking right at us again. And they threw their hand up again. I thought, I said, you sure you don't know these people? I don't know them. I said, well, I think they're looking at us. I mean, they're waving at somebody. I think they're looking at us. Now, you got to remember, we haven't been saved long at all. Okay? I don't know. It probably was less than a year, right at a year. We didn't know. All right, I'd never seen anybody. I didn't know what was going on. So we sit there for a little while longer. I mean, those people were happy. You know, they wasn't up in the choir singing, you know, shall we gather at the river? Man, they were singing with enthusiasm, smiles on their face. Some stopped singing, say amen, lifting their hands, and I thought they were waving at us. I was just sure, these people know us. They're waving at us. Long story short, it took me a while to get used to that. During the preaching hour that morning, there was a guy who let out a scream. Honest to goodness, I thought he was getting killed. I thought we are in trouble. He let out, woo! I said, oh my goodness, what in the world? It scared me to death. Well, you know, the first time you're around stuff like that, it's different, right? How many of you know what I'm talking about? The first time you ever heard somebody shout in church, it put the fear of God in you in a different way. It will. Now, what am I trying to tell you? There was nothing wrong with them. I just needed to understand some things. Now, I know that some people do that kind of stuff to get attention. Can I tell you, God is going to judge a person like that. God's going to judge a person like that. God's going to share His glory with no one. All right? Now, I want you to come back tonight, and I'm going to finish this message, but I want you to know, first of all, in a worshipful congregation, the Bible grows us, and we learn. We learn what a church service is about. How these people were getting into it. Listen to me. They didn't just stand there for 6 hours. That's about the only movement you get out of some Baptists. Say amen. They didn't do that. The Bible says, look at it again in verse number 6. They said, amen, amen, with the lifting of their hands. And then they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Could you imagine what would happen in your local Baptist church if folks started in one accord saying, amen, preacher, amen, preacher, amen, lifting their hands, and then some people just falling out on the floor and bowing their faces to God. Brethren, there's not a thing wrong with any of that. Amen. With any of that. Right. Nothing wrong with it. Amen. If God's moving, God was moving. How do you know that? Look what the Bible says here in verse number 6, right before they started saying amen, amen. Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. When you get a group of people together, start blessing God, praising God. Can I tell you, the Bible says in Psalm 22 that God inhabits, the Lord inhabits the praises of His people. Amen. God shows up on the scene when people start worshiping and praising Him. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. You get the presence of God in a place, and you may be shouting amen for a while, and you may be lifting your hands, but it won't be too long. You'll be on your face before the Lord. A worshipful congregation. Now tonight, I'm going to talk to you about this. I want to show you something. When we preach the Bible, we have to take the Bible line upon line and precept upon precept. Say, preacher, why do you take a book and go through a book, or why do you take a chapter and go through a chapter and just go line by line? Because it's biblical. That's why. Notice what the Bible says here. Now, people of the book, you got it down? A worshipful congregation. Now, the preaching of the book, a faithful exposition. Expositional preaching is biblical. You say, what is exposition? Well, listen to me. Exposition. This is what Webster said in his 1828 dictionary. He said, exposition, to lay open, to expose, explanation, interpretation, to explain, give the sense of, or the meaning of. Did you know that's what happened right here? Ezra started reading. Look, if you would, in verse number 3, the Bible says, and he read. All right? And when he read, the Bible says he began in verse number 6, he began to bless the Lord. And you know what these people started doing? Look at the latter part of verse number 7. They had these Levites there. Here's what they did. They caused the people, now look at it, to understand the law. That's expositional preaching. Look down, if you would, in verse number 8. So they read in the book, in the law of God, distinctly. Now watch this now. Here's expositional preaching. And gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. Look at the middle part of verse number 9 where it says that the Levites taught the people. You see that? That's the way preaching ought to be. Preaching. You ought to be learning. You ought to be being taught. You ought to have it broke down. You ought to have the sense of the matter. Why? You can't do what you don't know. I fear sometimes preachers get up and they just preach. I mean, just go off like a time bomb, and then get through and wonder why nobody's done anything. They didn't understand anything you just said. Folks have got to understand it before they can obey it. Say amen right there. Did you know that's what these people did? And we'll see that tonight. I want you to come back and listen to this. Listen, because it's what we need in our churches. We need worshipful congregations where people come together, they attend, they come, and then they're attentive, they listen, and then they affirm, they engage in the service. They don't just sit there. They say, amen, preacher. Amen. Preach on, preacher. Camp out there. You know what? You stepped on my toes, but that's all right. Now get to my heart. Amen. Speak to me. Speak to me from your word. That's what we need in our churches today. We need it. But it's only going to come through faithful exposition. So we see the people of the book. Tonight we'll look at the preacher, or the preaching of the book. We're going to look at the preacher, Ezra, and then we're going to look at the preaching and see that it was faithful exposition, line upon line, explaining it, laying it open, laying it bare so the people could get it and then go forth and practice it. That's exactly what these people did. All right? Let's all stand to our feet. Now today, I preach primarily to Christian people. But there may be somebody here that's never been saved. You've never been saved. You've come, and that's commendable. You've seen and you've listened, and that's good. But as you were listening, the Spirit of God revealed to you that there's something missing in your life. And can I tell you, if Jesus doesn't live in your heart, there is indeed something missing in your life. You need to be saved. You need your sin forgiven, and there's only one person that can forgive you of your sin, and that's Jesus Christ. Jesus died in your place. Please, please hear this. The greatest message I've ever heard in my life is the message of salvation. Some people try to complicate this matter of getting right with God, but God made it very simple. God wants you to understand that you are a sinner separated from Him. Your sins have separated between you and your God. You're separated from God because you're a sinner. But that doesn't cause God not to love you. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. See, God loved you. And He sent Jesus to die for your sin. He died in your place. He was buried. And He rose again the third day. If you will believe God's record, and that is the record that God has given. He sent His Son. He died for your sin. He was buried. He rose the third day, victorious over sin. And now you can claim what He has done for the forgiveness of your sin. Isn't that something? You say, I'm going to pay for my sin, preacher. You'll never get it paid, my friend. You will be paying 100 years, 1,000, 1,000,000 years from now. You'll still be trying to pay off that sin debt that'll never be paid off. He that believeth in the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son of God, the wrath of God abideth on him. It just keeps abiding and abiding and abiding and abiding. The wrath of God. But it doesn't have to. You can have that removed this morning by trusting Christ as your personal Savior. Would you do that? Let's bow our heads together. I'm going to ask the pianist to begin to play. If you're here today and you're a believer, you know Jesus as your personal Savior, perhaps God spoke to your heart about just your attitude toward church, toward worship. Not just being here, but being a part, worshiping God. Thank God for being at church, amen? But come to worship Him. He's worthy of all of our praise. He's worthy of our worship. As a believer today, and God spoke to your heart, say, preacher, I know I'm saved. God spoke to me about this matter of God's house and worship. And I want you to pray for me. God bless you, ma'am. Anyone else? Yes, sir. God bless you, ma'am. Yes, I see. God sees these hands. I see these hands. We'll certainly remember you as we pray. Yes, ma'am. God bless you. Anyone else this morning before we move on in our invitation? God bless you, sir. I see your hand. Is there someone here this morning say, preacher, I'm not a Christian. I do not know Jesus as my personal Savior. And I'm going to ask you to please pray for me. I don't want to die in my sin and go to hell. You don't have to. But if you reject Jesus, you will. Make no mistake about it. Please don't do that. Please don't do that. Pray for me, preacher. I'm not saved. I don't know Jesus as my Savior, and I'm concerned about my soul, and I want to ask you to pray for me. Could I see your hand? Anyone like that? I just want to pray for you. Anyone concerned about their soul? You're not saved, and you're concerned about your soul. Could I pray for you this morning? Anyone like that? Anyone? Anyone?